What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin, and this is the show for Monday, November the 4th. Oh, baby. I hope you all had a good Halloween and Halloween weekend, of course. I hope you watched a lot of good shit. And hey, congratulations to all the New York City Marathon runners. You did it. And your family stood in front of every fucking subway exit staircase that I attempted to get my way through while going to the movies yesterday. So you guys were also heroes. Gotta love that. Gonna bring in some other heroes of mine. Love these dudes. Let's bring them in one at a time so you can savor the entrance of each one. First up, he's repping a really cool bar on his t-shirt today. I hope someone paid for that advertising. Look at this real estate, Mr. Steven Sadek.
That's right. No, it's all buybacks, of course. That's the real estate that pays for it. Yeah, Pet Shop, a little bar in Jersey City you should check out. By the way, I appreciate Rose in the chat setting the fucking stage. No Penguin spoilers, please. I've not seen it yet.
Yeah,
people are really trying on the internet to fucking spoil that shit.
Is that right? They're getting after you again, huh?
They're getting me.
Did you have anything spoiled for you or what?
Not yet, but like closely. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be doing that. Speaking of spoiler phobes, this is a guy that hates a spoiler. He'll burn your fucking house down for spoilers. Mr. Eric Siska.
No, I won't. Sophia dies in this new episode.
I'm kidding. I don't know. I have no idea. No. Maybe she does. I don't know.
What's going on, dude? I like that t-shirt. Speaking of real estate, look at that.
Thanks. Yeah, it says the age of the skeletons has begun, which how do you not buy that when I'm such a skeleton guy? I love skeletons. I'm going to be one soon. Hi, everyone.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Sooner than you think.
Probably. I really think I'm having a health scare. Anyway, let's go continue on with the show.
Jesus. All right, here we go. And no stranger to health scares, Mr. Chris Cabin.
And then I went to the diner where can't say that. I got the pie and a hamburger and french fries, and I looked over. Oh, can't say that. Okay.
How much of that book should be redacted, Chris Cabin?
It's not a huge percent. Let's be loose here. 15%. How about that? That's a nice number, I think. I think that would take care of some of it. But it's a good book. Good read, if anybody's
I thought
wondering.
For a second on that cover it was what's his name, Frankie Muniz, for some reason.
Yes. Ooh.
My Life by Frankie Muniz.
Can I see the cover one more time? I'm gonna guess that's a book from the mid 1990s, if there ever was one. Am I wrong?
I believe Ooh. It was my dad's copy.
So. Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Just those bright, the border, colors. The whole, yeah, the light. Yeah. It's just 1993 written all over.
That's how we
did book covers like that for fun, whatever, like artsy biographies. And then also soon to be canceled sitcoms had the same color.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
In their 90s graphics or whatever.
Look at this. Frankie Muniz did write a book. Frankie Muniz : Boy Genius. Oh, wait, that's a character.
Did he voice a Boy Genius? He might have. I don't know.
No, it looks like some lady wrote this.
He's a
oh, so it's a book about Frankie Muniz.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's called Boy Genius.
He's a big race car. I know he drives a lot. He's big. He likes to go fast in car. But also, I know he's like a paranoid a negativity bubble. Like,
yeah,
he just constantly is talking about how everything's killing him or out to kill him. Or like all of his money is getting taken away.
He's got legitimate mental problems. We all hope Frankie's doing okay.
He's a real guy, right? That's not the character's name. I have no idea. Oh, because it's Malcolm.
Malcolm is in the middle.
Frankie
played Malcolm.
Yeah,
here, some details here. Meet Frankie Muniz. He's the star of Malcolm in the Middle, one of the hottest shows on TV. He's 15, funny, and now he's famous.
Well, I mean, that's gonna fuck you up. I got a little weirdo hagiography written about you when you're 15 years old. It's like, what?
Yeah, who's this fucking pervert lady writing this cute book about a 15 year old?
Nancy Krulik, which she was cruel that day for writing this.
It's true.
What up in the chat? Foolish Hooligan, Nico Fish, Greg Buffudo, Basiris 87, got Leisha Oliver there, Walton Goblin. I like that. Jordan Holland, what's up from the UK? How you doing? Mm-hmm. Thanks for tuning in. Backup, period. I like that.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? Books and Cats over on Twitch, how you doing? Over on Twitch, Blue Bella, how you doing? Hecka Rad Joey over on Twitch as well. We are on both platforms, folks. We don't really use Twitch a lot, but hey, if you're there and you found us, rock and roll. A lot to get to today. We're going to do a little where we were at the box office before we get into highest gross. But check this shit out, you guys. In 2011, on the very day, this animated classic was number one at the box office. We, Chris Cabin and I, prefer the sequel. It's Puss in Boots.
Oh, of course.
Look at that.
Riding high atop the box office this fine day 13 years ago.
Doesn't have, the new one does not have as much of the Shrekness in it, which it does. That is an upgrade, I got to say. Even though
please.
No, I think that second movie is a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's fine. You know,
I'm just thinking about the way that, could I see the picture one more time? Because the, I don't know how this cat could walk. I mean, obviously it's walking up on its hind legs, which cats can't do. But I mean, there's no, like, cats don't really have, like, feet that stand out that would fill a boot.
So this is not realistic, you're saying?
No, it's not realistic. No. You know what I mean?
Oh, shit.
I do know that the egg in the background there, I do believe makes, and I don't know if they've deleted this since, you know, for good taste, but does make a prison rape joke.
Yes, he does.
In that film, which is quite something. Really,
well,
quite
that's right. Kids need to learn about that.
We did this movie, right? Am I nuts?
Did we do this?
I think we did.
Yeah, we did that egg. I know that egg.
We did the first one. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not. Okay. I would never have known what that egg is. Okay.
Yeah. No. We talked about the Humpty Dumpty prison rape joke.
Excellent.
Yeah, on the episode. Yeah.
It always comes back anew for me. That's just like no. That was good for kids. No, they would love that.
Yeah.
Chris Cabin
too. Zero fucking rape jokes.
Nothing. Just like nice fights with like big animals.
Through your head, you're constantly thinking about that egg getting.
What, Eric?
You know what? Scrambled.
Thank you, Steve. Come on, let's clean up our act, Chris.
Sure. In the year 2000, top of the box office this fine day of November the 4th, rewatched this recently, and I think maybe it's got SBE 2025 written all over it. That 2000 Charlie's Angels movie.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, horrid.
Yep.
Not good.
I mean, it's in on its own winkiness, so there is that going for it. Unlike that, I think it's the 2019 one with K-Stu and some others. It's kind of taking itself a little more seriously as like an action movie. Dog shit.
It's her Naomi Scott from from Smile 2.
One.
I forget who the third one is. I apologize, but it's a very forgettable movie. That one, at least I remember, but it is. Horrible, like from beginning to end, just a horrible movie.
At least this one's got Crispin Glover. Then I fucking dare you to remember this. In 2013, top of the box office this fine day, Ender's Game.
That's got to be a stay tuned.
So yeah, Ender's Game tagline: "This is not a game." So what am I to believe?
Well, exactly. What the fuck am I buying a ticket to?
I got to tell you, the tagline is correct. It isn't just a game, but there are game elements to it. There's a little bit, half lie right there.
This is such an interesting property because I remember years and years, eons ago, I read the book and then the movie came out and then I saw the movie and I can't tell you anything about either of them.
it's a big book, right? It's a huge book.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember if it was like, worth a goddamn?
It's like a kid that gets recruited to go to like outer space fighting kind of thing.
Harrison Ford trains him.
70s YA books. You know what I mean? Before,
1970s. Oh, that's interesting.
And I think the author's now if he's not dead, he's a piece of garbage he was garbage and now he's dead. So whichever.
Once again, good.
And then 20 years ago today.
85, sorry, but even still.
Dead?
Or no, 1985 is the book. Sorry.
Oh.
80s YA. Apologies.
Gotcha. 20 years ago today, this was getting ready to ride its way to the Oscars. And I can't remember if it's a good movie. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. Of course, I'm speaking about Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
It's okay. I don't remember.
I got to be honest. It's what that and the Walk the Line. We're absolutely decimated by a parody movie. And like, it's just kind of hard to watch those movies after Walk Hard. It's just because it's this, it gets it so right. You know,
they got them. They got them good.
Yeah. Oh my God, guys. I went to Orson Scott Carr's Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in trouble when you have a subsection called Opposition to Homosexuality.
Of course.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Of course. Yeah.
There you go.
You, Orson.
Yeah.
You don't get to vote. Sorry. Like, you know what I mean? That is not something you get to vote upon.
Nope.
People are going to be doing what they want to do.
Tell everyone in this country, right?
Seriously.
He's going to wave his ballot anyway. I do always have to tell people that my dog is named after Wells, not him.
Yes.
I know I look also like someone who would read that stuff. So, you know what?
Is he a big enough name that people are, you're like, oh, here's my cute, adorable dog, Orson. And someone's like Orson Scott Card.
That book is huge.
Did that happen to you, though?
After who? They didn't know who it was.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So they're not asking you like, wait, it's not noted homophobe Orson Scott Card is who you named your dog after.
I think someone might have brought it up once, but it wasn't like they were like, is it Orson Scott Card, Orson Welles? That they ran through a couple of them.
Got it. Interesting to note, he was their first Orson, though.
Some good Orsons in the chat here. Orson Bean, Orson Krennic. Let's start naming more Orsons, everyone.
I think we might be fresh out, dude. I don't know.
We'll see what you can come up with the chat, folks, during the theme song for our next segment, which is, of course, our box office monitoring segment we like to call Highest Gross. All right. Now, big whiff to kick things off in the top five, and then everything else kind of unsurprising. But here we go. In at number five, Here and There. The exit of the cinema, because this will be out of theaters soon. The fuck enough, man. Look at this.
This is week one
for a Robert Zemeckis movie.
First of all, I feel like this is something, Gladiator's doing Thanksgiving. This felt like a holiday thing.
Sure, it does. This is too early for this.
Halloween weekend, not so much.
It's almost too weird. I'm going to cop this. I did see this yesterday.
Well, okay. I bet you did, you little pig.
I did. Look, I'm not going to get many more new Zemeckises. Like, it's not going to happen. So,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, maybe that's a good thing.
I will say, this is the best of the recent bunch.
Okay.
This is the most interesting of them all. The idea, the visual idea, he does do something with it that's actually kind of interesting. But that being said, I'm shocked it was in the top 10. I'm shocked anyone went to see this.
Well, they did a bad job of marketing this movie. I mean, nobody knew this. I didn't know this was coming out this week. I'm aware of this movie. I had no idea it was coming out this week.
Eric, I think you were totally right. Like, you take one look at that trailer, in where, by the way, fucking holidays are presented.
Yes.
And it's like, this is something, you know, when the family's home from college, you get the family after Thanksgiving, you go to the movie. It's at least Thanksgiving or on. Fucking Halloween weekend, massive failure for fucking Sony right here.
I saw the trailer thousands of times for this thing. In the suburbs, they're really pumping this out at you.
I'm
but
sure.
I did not realize it was even out this weekend, because I just assumed like, oh, this is like your Christmas movie something.
I mean, it's not even like I don't know how to like, there's Christmas in it, and I guess you could have marketed that way, but it's such like a weird movie. I don't know where. You have to market it that way and do it fakely, because the actual thing is too weird. Like, there's no way you could have actually been like the heart of this. It's like those. I mean, you see in a thing like grids of like rectangles and squares are like taking out and like presenting other time periods as it goes on. And they're just switching between time periods. It's visually really interesting. As a story, it's horrible.
So, Chris, do they ever break that? It's just constantly the here's your window into your goddamn house thing.
I mean, I can't explain it fully until you see it, but like it is constantly not just through that window. Like, there's different like sections of the screen,
but it's all the same house. And like at one point, there's soldiers, quartering in it.
All that correct.
I do want to check out the graphic novel it's based upon, which is supposed to be really good. So that makes sense in a grid, like kind of, you know,
right.
Page dealy.
Yeah. I mean, but this is, I mean, it's just wild. This was a $50 million production. We're saying, they probably saved some money on the fucking ad campaign. Usually with these things, we say like, oh, double the budget. And you know, that figures in the ad campaign. Like, it can't be, it just cannot be. They fucking squoze this movie into theaters. They snuck it in like a little fucking squeaker of a fart, man.
I had no idea it was a comic book movie, and this is just more comic book fatigue. You didn't want to see Captain Here or whatever this is about.
Coming in at number four in its second week, just dropping down for three, has a nice hold here, and we'll get Steve Sadek's review a little bit later in the program. But Conclave, the Vatican thriller about selecting the new pope.
Is that like a, could you put that poster up again real quick?
Uh-huh.
Is that a exclamation point in his dress here? Is that what that's supposed to be?
Where is the
Conclave?
No.
The red.
Oh, the red. No, that's like a sash.
It's like a sash.
Or is it a question? Are we conclaving?
Well, there is a question about the conclave. There's many questions about the conclave in it.
There is.
But yeah, it's a really decent, it's only a 20% fall here. Still on 1,700 screens. You have $5.3 million. This is very unexpected from when I literally first heard about this movie at TIFF two months ago.
It's not a crowd pleaser, but it's shockingly entertaining. For what the content of the film is, it's very entertaining.
I kind of think it is a crowd pleaser. Like,
yeah,
it does kind of for a like awards. Like, we were just this week, we were having a discussion about like what is going to be the awards movie.
It's probably going to be this guy.
One that I'm like, that's an awards movie, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And it does it what it's supposed to do very well. I think.
And it just, I mean, it's got a lot of that stuff working for it, right? It's focus features. They know how to push stuff like this. Yeah. In that awards way, it's got the cast for it. It doesn't have the director. Nobody gives a fuck about this guy, but that's fine.
Oscar winner, Berger.
Yeah.
Ed Berger win an Oscar for what?
Didn't All Quiet on the Western Front win like shit tons of fucking?
It did, but he did.
I don't.
He did.
I guess it wasn't him, but like his movie. Like,
I mean, that movie sure. Was
but
big,
I just think as far as like what you're putting, that dude's not a household name. And then I would argue if you're like to normies, like he was the guy that directed All Quiet on the Western Front a few years ago. What? You know what I mean? So like, I don't think that plays a role in this, but this kind of the hold that tells me that this is really decent word of mouth, and it's gonna keep going.
I don't want to get too deep in my, but I saw it at the AMC 19th Street, which I don't know if you've been there lately. It's a fucking bus station over there. It is
it's a bad theater.
It is a dump. But it was pretty full, shockingly.
Yeah.
It's a dump they just put a bar in to be like, modernize. I'm like, no, fucking tear this shit down and rebuild it.
It really needs a full-on total remodeling. The theater's a piece of shit.
It's been, I think, long enough. People are still, they're frothing because the young pope ended, the next pope ended, another pope.
We wanted
ended.
A pope.
There was a pope.
Two popes. We had two popes.
Oh, we did have two popes. Yes.
We had the pope's exorcism.
We had the pope's exorcist also. That's right.
Yeah. A lot of popes poping around the box office.
Dude, fucking Pope Tember, man. Added 43 screens, which is kind of interesting. So there you go with Conclave. Number three, holding in nicely, Smile 2.
All right.
Chris Cabin said was his favorite movie of the year. No, that's
yes, indeed.
No, but this is week three, another $6.8 million. I mean, you're looking at globally $110 million on a $28 million budget. Smile 3, Smile the fucking TV show. Let's get, you know it's coming. Everybody going to be smiling.
There's not going to be a Smile 3, Andrew, because let me remind you, the next thing this guy is doing is a fucking remake of Possession. Robert Pattinson. Ooh. And
no
like
smiles there.
Well, no, thank you. Big no thank you.
This might change with this box office. Everyone loves Smile 2. How about the Pope Smile?
That might be good. You know what?
I don't want a Pope smiling at me, man. I really don't.
I was kind of hoping in the Pope's Exorcist 2, the Pope better get actually exercised. You know what I mean? Like, that's a little tricky, that title.
Or at least get some cardio in.
I think, because that's the thing, right? And I have seen both Russell Crowe exorcism movies now. Pope's Exorcist looks like a fucking golden classic compared to that other one.
Yeah.
Where he's fake remaking The Exorcist or whatever. But to Eric's point, that is the disappointing part of that movie, is Russell Crowe has to scooter his way out of Rome to whatever nunnery or wherever the possessions go. No. Pope's Exorcist 2, Vatican City, folks.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle. With Ultra Titanium Alloy Metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Not even bad. The Pope himself. Oh no, he's been possessed by the devil. Now we've got a problem.
That would be cool.
I mean, I think the wicked Tedesco has the devil inside him.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Right.
He would be the one to do the smile.
This will be interesting to see what goes on with Smile 2 going into this coming weekend, because of course this is A24 and Heretic coming out. That's the Hugh Grant. We're tricking Mormon girls to stay in my creepy house movie.
Ooh,
I've tried that before. It doesn't really work. You try, you know, you do your best, but.
So coming in at number two, making your case for wow, they really shot themselves in the fucking foot, putting this on PVOD way too early. The Wild Robot.
Wow, what the
bumps fuck? Up to two. Another $7.6 million in its sixth weekend, and get this shit, it actually, in its sixth week, it made 11% more than last weekend. Like, dumb as dick with this decision.
Yeah. Eric, I think you need to drop the zero being Kung Fu Panda 4 and get with the hero, and I think that's the Wild Robot.
I think you might be right.
He might be here to stay. He might be here at the end of 10.
It's crazy. And no, everyone's trying, Universal's trying to stop their own movie, and it's not working.
Nope, it's crazy. They're trying to pull the producers on themselves, and it's not working.
It's going around, man. Warner Brothers is doing it, too. They're having fun fucking themselves. It's fantastic.
We're going to talk about that moment fucking terribly. Because it's some of the dumbest shit I've seen. Yes.
Honestly, if David Zaslav was revealed to be a double agent for like Disney or something, at the end of all this, like, oh, of course,
that's the only way it would make sense. Yeah. It's literally you fucking deleted a Batgirl movie. You must be working for Universal Pictures.
Yes, exactly.
The mole is at the top.
In at number one, our pal Venom stuck. Sure. Stuck with The Last Dance for another $26.1 million, a drop of 49%. Not terrible, and no real competition.
Eddie, we beat the Tom Hanks movie. Eddie, we did it. We beat it. We beat it good. We are here now, Eddie. Not here.
Fuck you, Tom Hanks.
I didn't...
Robin Wrightburn! That's not what she goes by anymore, Eddie. She dropped the pen years ago. Conclave is hot on our heels, Vinny.
No, Sean Penn is a loser now. You don't understand. He does taxi movies.
Oh, they put the Wild Robot on PVOD, Eddie.
Just wanted to comment on this poster again really quick, because I didn't talk about this last week. I saw some dumb motherfucker, and these dumb motherfuckers got to stop being dumb motherfuckers. This dude saw this poster and then went on the internet and was like, that's it. I'm done with Venom. They're putting this they-them shit on the fucking poster now.
Oh boy.
Shit, I didn't know Orson Scott Card had a Twitter account.
Oh no.
But just this guy, like, I'm swearing off the Venom franchise because the word they was in a poster and you don't know they're talking about two characters. Have you seen Venom before?
Well, exactly. Read a fucking comic book. He's been using the plural pronoun the entire character's existence.
It's so, I had to get that because I was like, you fucking idiot. Like,
we gotta take out some of these words because they're too woke.
Yeah,
just in general, you know, these words we use all the time. We just got to figure out something new.
I got to tell you, man,
they and them in any sentence, or even them about the, was it an ant movie or something? You got to stop. We got to rename all this stuff because it's too woke.
My condolences to anyone who lives in a battleground state, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, or whatever. My Sling TV now thinks that we live in Pennsylvania for some reason. Ooh. So we get like local Pennsylvania car commercials and whatever, and like local TV Pennsylvania commercials. But because we're getting that, we get nothing but fucking campaign ads. Nothing but rotten campaign ads with the they, them, and go fuck yourself. I just can't.
Wow.
Can't
someone's running. Someone's running against the Venom poster.
They are.
No.
Well, they're not going to usher it out of theaters by next week. That's for sure. We will talk in length. We'll do a review of this next movie, but got to talk about the box office shenanigans of the new Clint Eastwood movie, which they are trying their hardest to not let you know. There's a new and final Clint Eastwood movie. It's called Juror Number Two. And elsewhere at the box office this weekend, $275,000 is what some outlets are estimating because we don't have an actual number because Warner Brothers instructed theaters to not report the grosses on the 35 screens that this movie is playing on in this country.
This was part of when they announced that they were only going to be putting it out in a limited amount of theaters. They also said we're not going to release the numbers. And the only thing I can think of is that this is a test balloon for them doing this in the future with bigger movies.
If they just
decide to, we don't want to let you know what the number is.
Because they love their streaming services where they're like, ooh, the numbers.
You can say whatever. You can say whatever the fuck you like.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, the closest this is playing to my house is about an 80-minute drive.
Paramus?
Wow.
I went? Yeah, that was a nice drive. It was beautiful.
I imagine. This is in the city, Andrew. You saw this already?
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it at Lincoln Square on the Upper West Side. It's also at the Alamo downtown. It's at the Regal Union Square 14 and one more here in the city.
Oh, okay. So there's more. Because I only counted five that would be even like within relative driving distance from me, because it was Paramus, Boston, and then I knew there was three in New York. There's four. Well, that's better. I thought it was only three.
Right. I mean, but I don't know what this does for them. Like, there's no, like, when you don't report grosses, is because you don't want them to, you know, be public.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, like, this makes it look good. Like, the movie also made $5 million overseas in six different countries.
France.
Predominantly, that was France, with like 3 million of that. But they were looking at all these numbers like, oh, fuck, it's doing business.
Jesus
the
Christ.
Pre-sales on those 35 theaters were like kind of okay. I mean, $275,000 on 35 screens is like $8,000 per screen or something like that.
I don't know if it's still there, but like American Sniper made them all the money. Like, a tonnage of money.
That is like a guy with a gun. Whoa, yes. They can get behind that. They understand that in comic books. But this is like, it sounds like a movie from the 90s that's for adults. So they just think it's going to be dead on arrival.
No,
and
they want it to be dead.
For some reason, they made the movie, but they want it to fail.
The one thing we're not mentioning in all of this is that it was announced like when he started doing it. I'm probably going to retire after this one. So you know you've got Clint Eastwood's final movie. They wanted to originally just put it on Max. It wasn't even going to get a theatrical
release.
It's just like, this dude, over his fucking decades in this business, has predominantly made movies for Warner Brothers. This guy has made you so much fucking money over the years. This is how you do him? Fuck you. Fuck you.
This is how you lost Nolan, who went down to make Oppenheimer, which made all the fucking in the world for Universal.
Yep.
You dumb fucks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's monstrous. And also, by the way, I respect Clint Eastwood for saying that he's going to finally retire at this one and tease it for as he's in his 90s, as opposed to like, me, I might make 10 movies. This has to be my last one. me.
Yes, I agree completely. Yeah. But I want Clint Eastwood to do Juror Number 3.
Yeah,
number
please.
Yes, four.
Make five Pull more, Clint. Yeah. Get back out there, baby.
The prequel, Juror Number 1, of course.
And then finally, the alternate.
Ooh. So that's what's going on at the box office. We will talk more about Juror Number 2 in a few minutes. But the clock's ticking, y'all. End of day Wednesday is the last chance for you to get the replay of our Scream 4 show. Y'all got to do it. This was an all-timer. We had a blast. We also had a blast doing the after-party Q&A, which is also available moment.co/we8movies. It was a good time.
It was amazing. It was a lot of fun.
So yes, it's up right now. But yeah, end of day Wednesday, folks.
Make sure you
got the info.
Yes.
But I mean, speaking of next week or the days to come,
crazy.
Next week we're already on the road.
Jeez.
Which is just fucking bonkers. But the three IRL end of year shows are kicking off next week. We will be in Seattle. First up, our debut in the beautiful city of Seattle, talking about Harry and the Hendersons, talking about Progresso soup varieties, probably.
Oh, yes.
Featuring Conclave's John Lithgow, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. Get out of here, Pope. Nobody wants you anymore. We need a new Pope. Etc.
We'll be doing that.
Yes, we'll be doing all of those things.
And then two nights later, we're going to hustle down the coast to Portland, Oregon, returning there for the first time in several years. Back in at Mississippi Studios, which, real deal, low ticket alert, folks. We're talking The Goonies on 11/17.
Oh boy.
Excellent way to spend your Sunday night. Mm-hmm. IMO.
There are like 15 tickets left. Come on out, please. We'd love to see you.
Yes, we would. Come on now.
That's going to be a ball.
A few short weeks later, we're taking the Amtrak. We're going to get on the Amtrak.
Yay.
That's right. A lot of train travel this
absolutely
year on tour.
I prefer it.
Yes, I know, John Madden.
I hate it.
We're going to be up in Beantown talking Pretty Woman.
Yes. My God. You'll be wanting to flick the bean watching this rom-com.
to be clear, though, you should not do that. And at this place,
while we're on stage, don't do that.
Have the decency to do it in the bathroom like a normal
please
person.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you, Stephen.
There you go. And clean up after yourself, especially if you're in a public locale like Laugh Boston, which is a great club.
Hell yeah!
Please come on out.
You can ask for towels. It's easy.
Mm-hmm. Busiris in the chat asking about this second late show for Portland. No word because it hasn't sold out. So
yeah.
If we can shell off those extra tickets there, I don't know what they'll let us do at this point. Seems a little short
late
notice.
Yeah, it's a little close. I don't know if we're going to get that second show, and I'm going to blame the city of Portland.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure, that's great move.
You didn't bring enough friends.
It is time to shift into the annoy your coworkers stage of this.
Thank you.
That's right.
And like, look, if that is a tarnish on your, you know, on your career or on your just the way you see yourself, that's just okay for us. You know, you should be giving that to us, I think.
Hey, it's gonna be a good time either way, though. I'm fucking pumped to get back to Portland talking about Goonies. Mississippi Studios is a great club. We're gonna have a good time. It's gonna be a fucking fun time in the PNW and then a little New England after the fact there.
So absolutely.
I'm very excited about all this. Head over to our website, whmpodcast.com. All the ticketing information is there. Also the link to the virtual show, that Scream 4 show. So you don't want to miss any of that. whmpodcast.com now. We sort of mentioned him a moment ago as being part of a very ill-headed or ill-conceived remake, I guess you could say. But Art Patz is coming out with something by one of my favorite directors early next year. We're going to take a look at the trailer in a segment we like to call Trailer Segment. At long last, the new one from Bong Joon-ho himself is coming out. Mickey 17. I want to read the book. Have not got around to that yet, but this is director Bong's fucking Parasite follow-up. Finally, at long last, another, may I point out, moment where Warner Brothers is trying to fuck a great filmmaker in the face.
This what are we is talking one. About January for?
Dude, it was supposed to be out already. They fucking ordered it was like a thing where director Bong was like, we want to get the special effects right. So there was like a delay there. But now like you are just kicking this. And I don't know, like if you want to do 131 as like an expansion and then release it quietly the last week of the year, you know, try to repeat his Oscar stuff.
Or even if it's not really ready for that, then kick it out to like March, April, where at least you're in a reasonable time to release decent movies as opposed to January, which as we know is a dumping ground.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like get conspiratorial about this much all the time, but stuff like this does make me think they're just trying to make a case for moving all their shit just to streaming. Like all this shit just keeps on moving closer, like unless it's huge stuff, unless it's like family shit, like or huge franchise stuff.
But Chris, the very fact that what we're talking about is possibly David Zaslav working for Disney and/or Universal, possibly this being a long con to get all their stuff on streaming. They're doing so poorly, you have to, and so bafflingly, you have to just
you have to grasp at straws. Be like, why would any, what, where's the rationale to any of it?
And also
destroying those, two movies that might have made, but Batwoman and the Looney Tunes one too.
Like, and streaming is doing so bad right now as well. So what?
It makes
no sense. You're torpedoing both of your industries basically by having this guy manage it, who's probably a really nice guy, and I think he'd be a great hang. And maybe he's good. I don't. Maybe it'll work.
I mean, it just seems like the dude should be working in a different field that's not being the CEO of a major media conglomerate.
$50 on number 3.
Oh, let's not forget that they lost basketball too. By the way, lost the entirety of basketball.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And, so that's on his resume. So,
that's an operations thing that's got absolutely nothing to do with fucking streaming and movies. So.
That's on his plate as well.
He's just incompetent.
He's trying to save money in weird ways, and it's not going to work.
So, of course, we all recall Parasite was a movie put out by Neon, and it was a massive hit for them. And so, you know, I guess somewhere along the way, someone was like, hey, here's all this money from Warner Brothers to adapt this Mickey 17 movie. I don't know. But we're going to take a look at the trailer because I saw it before Juror number 2. But I'm kind of excited for it, I have to say.
Quickly ask, am I going to be lost without Mickey 1 through 16?
I don't think that's what this is. And I think you will actually learn in the trailer why he's called Mickey 17.
Ooh, okay.
Great. So folks watching along at home, of course, down here below in the episode description is the link to the exact trailer we're going to be watching if you want to watch along with us. And by the way, while you're in that episode description, clicking around down there, be sure to give this video a thumbs up, be sure to subscribe to the channel and click that notification bell. You want to know when we're going on the air, y'all. You don't want to miss a second of this shit. All right, so here we go. Mickey 17. You dudes ready there to
yes sir.
Folks at home, just like our commentaries, because it's been a little while since we've done a trailer segment, we'll do 3, 2, 1 go. Hit play when I say go. All right, bafflingly coming out at the end of January of next year, the new one from Bong Joon-ho, Mickey 17, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Spaceship.
Oh. Is this a sequel to High Life?
I hope.
I hope he's coming in this one, too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, no. Did you see
that? Mm-hmm. Nah, I wouldn't be surprised if you're Love it. At this point. What have I done? He's doing this voice, you guys?
Yeah. That's him?
Yeah, that's our pet.
I thought Steve Buscemi was narrating this trailer.
No, he's doing a silly voice. Yeah, I should have read through it.
Once you die, we print a new version of your body. It's like Space Multiplicity kind of.
Okay. Let me work my ass off on one mission after another.
Every time you die, we learn something new of humanity. I think this is a perfect thing for Bong to adapt into a movie.
Yeah.
It looks good.
The grim comedy like this is so perfect for him.
Yeah. It's a nice concept. Not looking very good for you. I wish I could die every day.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Yeah, I'm sure you're used to it by now, but
what's it feel like to die? Hey, Steven Yeun, man, that's a nice addition. I hate dying. Yeah, like it's got like a little bit of Live, Die, Repeat vibes, Groundhog Day vibes.
Right, yeah.
Oh, are they going to S at each other's D's?
Mm-hmm. Why aren't you dead? Also, reminded me of The Prestige a little bit as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yep.
I'd be looking for Mickey 69 is what I'd be looking for.
Hell, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That would be so good.
Dude, Ruffalo with that face he's making. Why don't you guys do rock, paper, scissors, and then we'll just shoot the loser.
I mean, if you came in front of, if you saw another one of you, you wouldn't have any qualms about S at each other's D's.
Oh, no. No.
You guys know the real estate.
You do.
Yeah.
You know, if there was a delay for effect stuff, I mean, this shit looks good. It's a good-looking science fiction movie.
Yeah, this is crazy to put out in January. I mean, this could have been a summer hit.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There you go, man. Like, that's a motion picture. That's a fucking movie, man. I don't get it.
January was when the Bye Bye Man came out. I'm sorry. This is important to remember.
Well, maybe
that is the Bye Bye Man Memorial Month.
Thank you. The cinema history, Steve.
Like, maybe like any marriage, you have to keep the shareholders interested. You have to give them, keep them excited. Mm-hmm. So they're used to January always being a dead month. What sure. do? You're Zavlov. You want to get them hard again. So what you go, you go in there, you say, no, putting a Bong Joon-ho movie that would have been up for awards, that would have probably done crazy box office. And I'm going to stick it right at the fucking end of January, the real dead yep. zone, like the absolute nowhere's land.
It's insane. It's baffling. I mean, but Steve, your theory about this guy working for Disney or Universal, listen, I'm with Chris. I don't like getting conspiratorial. It yeah. is a bad week for conspiracy theories to blossom and whatnot. All that said, something just doesn't smell right. How can there be this many mistakes? It has to be intentional.
But that, I mean, at this point, there is no mistake. This is a pattern of behavior. This is very clear. Since the fucking Batgirl thing, like this has just been a consistent, yes, like, nonstop. What are you even fucking doing?
You guys on here, YouTube's all about election integrity, cinematic integrity. Let's
that's
get
what
to
I want.
It.
That's what I'm looking for. I gave up on the other one. This one. Yeah. This might happen.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Yeah. So just it's just a big old mystery. It's just a big old mystery.
Crazy.
But we're gonna cover it, man. We will be there to talk about this movie and to constantly remind people. I mean, we'll see. I was watching a Warner Brothers movie yesterday, so that's why the trailer's in front of it.
Sure.
I'm curious where else they bother placing the fucking trailer. So we will see. 120 whatever the fuck 25. Get some reviews in here, of course, as we are closing in about just a little under 20 minutes after the or close to the hour here. Steve Sadak, you were at the movies, and it sounds like Chris Cabin has also seen this, so we'll give you guys the floor. Conclave.
I've been a big fan of the Ralph Fiennes version 2, the bald Ralph Fiennes, and this might be the feather in his cap. I think Quiz Show is my handsome Ralph Fiennes favorite movie. Conclave might be my bald Ralph Fiennes favorite movie, and he's still very handsome, by the way.
Yep. Oh yeah.
No smoke there. Different kind of handsome.
Yeah. And just a bunch of I'm a lapsed Catholic, so I'm a little interested in this stuff, maybe predisposed to it. But it's not so Catholic-y. I mean, it is very Catholic-y, but it's really a process movie. You know what I mean? It's about getting this thing done, and it's a unique process that you get to sort of explore and understand. And it's kind of a thriller in terms of like that, you know, a chamber movie where we're going into different rooms and yelling at each other about secrets that are coming out.
Ooh,
like that.
Yes.
I think Steve is underselling one particular point of this one, in that this is maybe, and you must excuse me here, the bitchiest movie I have seen in so long. Like, it is a bunch of grade A actors snipping and sniping, and like you can hear him doing like the Bad Girls House like narration in his head, like, "Oh Shania, you will never be the head baddie of this house." Like, you can hear it when he's talking about Tedesco and talking about Almeida and all that shit. He tells one of them at one point, like, you will not be Pope. And it sounds like you will not be the survivor.
Yes, it is
very much like a reality TV. And that's what's fun about it. And I mean, I think this movie is sold completely on the cast. Just them showing off. This is Ralph Fiennes. Fucking Lucian Masamadi is fucking amazing as Adamea. But the big one, Tedesco, Sergio Casalito, who is one of Italy's best fucking actors. He's incredible. If you ever can, look up a movie called My Mother's Smile by Marco Bellocchio. He is so fucking good in it. It will knock you out. But he is He's the villain in this, essentially, yes. And he is so fucking good at it.
And guess what they do? They get inside that conclave, and everybody's smoking. They're smoking all these cardinals are smoking their cigarettes.
Is this set now?
Yes, it is set now-ish, I would say. Yeah. And
how's Isabella's sister Agnes?
She's really great. She's like,
she has her two good big scenes, essentially, and they're both really good.
And Tucci also is great. He stopped making pasta to make a movie, which I'm very happy for him. and it's really, I mean, it's everyone's having is chewing the scenery. And like, it's just south of overdirected, but it needs to be because it's so like, there's so much, like, it is sort of like all internal and quiet stuff, but it gets very loud because of the way, honestly, the folding of paper sounds like a fucking, the T-Rex in 1994 is Jurassic Park. It's like,
yeah.
93, apologies, but it's so fucking good.
Oh, wow. I just, that inspired, here's what I was going to ask about it, because this is always, these kind of chamber drama things can be tough for me if the filmmaking starts to slide to the point where it feels like you're just watching a filmed play.
No, the camera's moving everywhere, and there's really interesting angles. Not just over two shot. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that.
Yep. Kind of made me believe her, because I did think All Quiet on the West Front was like insanely overdirected. Like,
yes.
It is maybe one of the most overdirected movies I've seen in the last decade. But like this, he's got a couple really good, interesting shot ideas that do give life to these things. And like, it moves without being too much. Like, you don't feel like it's set into the track of having to move, but it moves in these very interesting little ways that I thought it is. Along with the movie we're going to talk about in a minute, or number two, this is like 90s era, like just adult drama.
Yes.
Not pitched to like well made, well written, well performed, but not like the thing that's going to like make you believe in cinema. Just a movie that you enjoy on a fucking Saturday afternoon. And
it feels like an HBO movie back from the 90s. Like, you know what I mean? Like RKO. Like
Conspiracy.
Yeah, that kind of
that Elizabeth the First era of HBO movies.
In a complimentary way. Like, I was really surprised how much I enjoyed this movie, how much I'm probably going to rewatch this movie at some point. It's got a Hangover vibe to it as well, I think, if you're looking for it. Yeah, so just full-throated recommend. Please see this movie. It's if you are sick and tired of, you know, this is a really entertaining movie that'll actually engage you intellectually as well. Yes. There you go.
I will say, while I have not seen it yet, I'm very eager to. But also, this weekend, my Catholic mother and her Catholic sister went to see it and both enjoyed it. But Steve and Chris, they would like to talk to you about the ending.
I
guess we'll find out.
I will say my mother misunderstood the ending as well, which is adorable, which is totally fine. It's a really good movie. I think that and the ending is interesting. It goes into interesting places that you kind of don't expect, so that's it's full throated recommend.
Sweet deal. Speaking of full throated recommends, Chris Cabin, start us off on our juror number two review.
Fucking idiots.
Yes, and I'm a fucking idiot because I didn't see anything this weekend.
you were busy. You and your wife hosted a very nice entertaining weekend. You were busy.
You're entertaining. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You didn't have time to drive out to Paramus, New Jersey.
Yes,
exactly. And see the
80 minutes.
Fucking Clint Eastwood movie.
Because I was here, Chris. I was at my own house all weekend. I was here.
Yes, it makes sense, Eric. It makes total sense. But like, it makes no. This is such like an awards baity movie. Like, forget, like, it's a great movie. Like, let's get that right out. It's fucking great. I think it is his most normal movie in a long time. Like, if you have been having a problem looking at him do like his like, oh well, I'm gonna sleep with two escorts here and just if that stuff has been throwing you about the Eastwood era, this is such a. It's like a subversion of 12 Angry Men, essentially, is the guts of the movie. It's just so well made. Nicholas Hoult, who should be getting every fucking Oscar like nom thing that they got going right now, he should be at the top of all of it.
It's the best thing he's done since About a Boy.
Ever. It's exactly the movie you've been waiting for him to do. Yeah. And like, you just bury this guy for what? Like, I want to know so bad what because the reasoning in the articles, if anybody's reading the articles, is not like they just shift away. They're like, you know, it just looks that our economic forecasting makes this look better or some shit like that.
It's all just it's horse shit.
I cannot understand it. Like yeah, I mean, if you can see it, find time. Like, if you have the hour to drive to go see it, I say go do it. But I know a lot of you don't, so don't bother then. I'm sure it'll be on VOD any minute now. Like, yeah. That's what clearly what they're trying to do is just to shove this to fucking VOD.
That is a miscarriage of justice. This Clint Eastwood's being railroaded by the system.
And, dude, like,
it's
movie.
Basically, it's a plot of his movie is happening to him, and I was thinking it the whole time I was watching the movie.
He's getting jeweled. I was thinking Richard jeweled right now.
He's getting Richard jeweled so hard. It's fucking ridiculous.
It's happening.
I will say, if you are interested in seeing this movie and you have like an independent theater near you that dabbles in commercial fare, you know, so, I mean, you'll know if your independent movie will play a movie like this. Ask the people if they're going to play it, because those people, those programmers, or, you know, those theater managers that use bookers will, you know, then go to the studios and be like, look, people are asking about this. Can we come in with it? It's not going to happen at a Regal or an AMC or a Lowe's or fucking any of that stuff. But if you have like an honest to goodness independent theater, just ask the management, say, hey, look, you know, are you going to come in with it? And that, I mean, that stuff can sometimes make a difference, you know, if it's like an independent enough, you know, owned theater and whatever. So I'm putting that out there because there is rumors of an after Thanksgiving expansion of the movie, because now they're realizing like people want to see it and whatever. Oh, but man. Like, frankly, there's a lot of stuff that I know theaters have already made commitments to. So I don't know how many of those theaters will wind up having room for it. So yeah, ask your programmers, you know,
it's
I don't know.
A packed winter. And like, think you do need to go, like, go up to go, look, Giuseppe, look, I know that you don't like getting really into like these hard to find curiosities, but this new movie by this new out there filmmaker, you know, not a lot of Americans know him. His name's Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Play his movie.
Now, the Thanksgiving possible re-release make me think awards. Do you think awards would be in play for juror number two?
It should be.
But the thing is, I mean, that it's sort of, I mean, yes, I do, but that won't matter as far as the expansion, because they already have their week in New York and Los Angeles. So they've like qualified
for
nominations. If it does get nominated, that's a different story.
Maybe you could see maybe December re-release then for awards. Yeah.
I mean, to sort of position what I was feeling like era of Clint wise, this is like those movies he was making in the late 90s in a way, like True Crime and Absolute Power, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil in a way, like just these like, grounded, not big, you know, crime-ish stories. And this one is about like just the lengths a human being can go for self-preservation and like family preservation in the face of like owning something. Like it's amazing watching Nicholas Hoult like wrestle with all this shit in his head. Zoe Deutsch plays his put upon hyper pregnant wife, who actually gets a little more fucking meat in the movie than you expect a pregnant wife character to get. You get fucking J.K. Simmons for a little bit. Fucking
like
fabulous. Really it is a really good little ensemble cast, but Hoult is just amazing.
What's his name from Reno 911? So good. I was shocked how good he was.
Fuck. Cedric Yarbo.
Yes. Oh, nice.
Oh, my that God. Dude. Is he good? Oh, God.
I don't know that I've ever seen him do like dramatic acting before. No. Like he's in, like he's got a bit part in fucking 40-Year-Old Virgin. Of course, Reno 911 is like the big one, but like he's really good in the movie.
Yeah, it's a nice little flavor. That's the other thing with Eastwood. He just like knows he's got the Soderbergh thing where he's like, I like that guy. Maybe I just put him in it. Maybe he knows how to run with it, and like he'll just put it, and you'll find out that some guy like this has real talent at other things other than just making you laugh, which he has done quite a lot for me.
It's just I can't recommend it enough. I really can't. It's you know, I don't want to say too much about it though. That's the problem.
No, it's a good secret movie.
Yeah. It unfortunately is a secret movie directed by fucking Clint Eastwood. And now that you said that, Chris, I feel like I should play the fucking video. I won't, but it could have been a secret movie segment. Yes. Anyway, really quickly here on Home Media Mania, Repo Man, the new, it's not new, it came out 2 months ago, but they have the 4K release of the Alex Cox, I think, fucking total punk rock classic. I really love this movie. I've loved it for many a year now. But yeah, new 4K digital restoration looks really nice. Sounds really good.
It's a great movie. I could see how sharp that 4K is behind you, Andrew.
Yes, I am playing the Blu-ray behind me here.
Looks like a great transfer.
It's one of those, it's one of those movies that's so hard to... It sounds like it's easy to pull off where it's like, oh, it's just, you know, it's like punk and sci-fi and kind of it winds up being who cares, man. But like to nail that, to nail the who cares of it all like that is the hardest thing to do. And I think it's really, really difficult. And I love that movie for that because it doesn't matter. But that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, it is a great one. I, you know, on the subject of Cox, if you haven't seen it, folks, Walker.
Oh, man.
Check out
Walker. Never saw Walker, actually.
The best. Oh,
you'll,
man.
You'll like it.
That's a good one. Yeah. I mean, Alex Cox, he's just like, I love scumbag cinema, and he really knows how to make good scumbag cinema. I want to point out, if you can see it, the illustrations here, you know, both inside and out by Jay Shaw and Tyler Stout. I mean, these are the front and the back here is just, it's absolutely good. I mean, this release is, I mean, the art on this is really great. Cox does one of the features in the booklet is this like illustrated retelling of the production of the movie that he did. And it's like, part sort of journal, part comic book. Like there's tons of illustrations in and panel work and dialogue bubbles. Like there's a lot going on. And then finally Sam McPheeters, the film critic, wrote a really solid essay for it. So that's on Criterion now. I just wanted to bring it up because they sent it to me both after it came out and while we were off the air. So wanted to get in the plug there. Absolutely. If you're a fan of Cox, if you're a fan of Emilio, this is one of his first movies. If you're a fan of punk rock cinema, my goodness gracious, you absolutely have to pick up Repo Man. I think that's going to do it, guys. Big week here, of course, in the WHMU. Do not forget, tomorrow, We Love Movies Month is kicking off, y'all, in a big, bad way. We're talking Batman the movie.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, this will, of course, be the main feed Tuesday episode, so don't get it twisted. Not going to want to forget that. And then Thursday... Because, of course, it is We Love Movies Month, we generally, on both the Nexus and Animation Damnation, do feature films as part of the celebration. So on Thursday, we're dropping an Animation Damnation all about DuckTales the movie, Treasure of the Lost Lamp.
Rip Taylor, huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
Huge deal. Big time. Yes, this is massive deal.
It's a ridiculous episode. If you like our past coverage of the DuckTales universe, you will enjoy this episode.
Yes. Shredding our vocals once again.
Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. That needs some honey laced tea when we came out of that recording. And then, oh, by the way, Friday, we are going to conclude the week with the penultimate episode of this season's Too Old for the Shit, where we are talking about the penultimate episode of The Penguin, episode 7, Top Hat. No spoilers, but we're going to be talking about that. That'll be out for you Friday, top tier Patreon subscribers. So that's going to do it, man. I am very happy with the shows we have coming out. It's going to be a big week, I think, folks.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it. We'll get out of your hair here. Just coming up at 1 o'clock, the top of the hour. As always, thanks so much for tuning in. No show next week, by the way, because we are preparing to hit the road. So On Screen Live will be back at a later date, which we will definitely let you know about. But until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek, go vote and save democracy, please. Please do that.
Eric Siska, vote and see us in the Pacific Northwest and Boston.
Chris Cabin, what they said.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. See us in the PNW and God bless America.